In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My son was lost, and now is found, dead, and come to life again. It's been a number of years we've had the grace of celebrating immense Lenten retreat on this prodigal son Saturday. It is hard for us to recall every day of Lent, but I would hope that there are certain ones that stand out. And this Saturday before this third Sunday of Lent should stand out in all of your minds as the Saturday of the prodigal son. Year after year, we remark the truly inspired genius of the Church in juxtaposing this gospel of the prodigal son, which of course, we must not forget, is a parable of two sons, one prodigal and one who remains at home, and the history of the two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and their father Isaac. Especially this year during Lent, when we're considering with special importance the spiritual sense of the Scriptures each day of Lent, we should already be attentive to the fact that the Church wishes to say something to us here about the allegory. Even though we are very much moved by this passage of the Gospel to consider, especially the moral sense, as we most certainly should. But as on other days of Lent, these two senses turn upon one another. The allegorical sense, if we are now sufficiently trained to look out for it, should be that these two sons represent the two testaments. The Old Testament was brought about through this man Jacob, who was renamed Israel, who stole the birthright of his brother Esau, who technically was the older brother. They were twins, but Esau came out first. If you have read this passage of the Scriptures, you know that the history is not as simple as that. Esau, we are told by the Scripture, spurned his birthright. He cared nothing for it. He sold it to Jacob for a pot of stew because he was hungry after hunting. And so it seems almost fitting then that it should be taken from him when his father, old and now blind, asks for him to bring to him some of his stew as he likes it so that he may give his final blessing upon the firstborn. Jacob then, with the help of his mother Rebekah, easily concocts a plot to steal this birthright, indeed, though, by deceiving his father. By comparing this to the story of the prodigal son, the Church wishes to show that the story of Jacob and Esau, in fact, prefigures what will happen with the Jews and the Gentiles. But just as Jacob brought about the race of the chosen people by stealing the birthright of Esau, so now this birthright will be taken away from the descendants of Israel and given to all peoples, represented by Esau. And this is the meaning signified by comparing this story to that of the prodigal son. In the story of the prodigal son, the elder brother who stays home and never abandons his father represents the Hebrew people. Well, the prodigal son is the one who says to the father, "Give me my portion of the inheritance." What does this mean if not that the Gentiles have contented themselves with the goods of this world? They wish all their inheritance now so that they may waste it now, so that they may eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they die. This prodigal son, though, comes to his senses and then returns. And here's what I've commented on the moral sense especially, reminded that he acts out for us all the steps of making a good confession. And even though it seems that his contrition is imperfect at the beginning, by the time he arrives home and sees his father, it has blossomed into perfect contrition. The older son, though, is not forgotten in the parable. This older son then does represent the Old Testament, the Hebrew people, and he is resentful that now the prodigal son is welcomed back and that they make merry over his return, despite all that he did, wasting away his inheritance and indeed spurning and disrespecting his father by asking for his inheritance in that way and committing such scandal. But his father insists, "My son was lost and now is found. He was dead and has come back to life." This, it seems, the older brother cannot accept. And it is especially with this theme that I wish to turn now toward the moral sense of today's gospel. Whereas on other days of Lent, we have, yes, this allegory of the Old Testament being replaced by the New. Again and again we hear this. But this immediately then turns on another sense. When we ask, why does the Church insist year after year and day after day of Lent on this theme of the Old Testament giving way to the New? The Church wants us to hear this now, not so that we may pride ourselves on belonging to the New Testament, but so, as the Apostle St. Paul warns us, we may take heed lest we fall. Even if the Gentiles have been grafted onto the tree now, they can just as easily be cut off if they are fruitless. And so, today's gospel might easily be compared to another parable that our Lord tells, a parable of mercy, when he speaks of the master who demands an account of his servants. One pleads for mercy because he cannot pay his debts, and the master grants him mercy. The response, though, of the servant is not then full of having been shown mercy, to show mercy toward others in turn, but rather to lord it over his fellow servants and to be even more tyrannical and exacting toward them, and toward one in particular, to demand without mercy that he repay to him all his debts. And it is for this reason that the master, hearing of this, revoking his mercy, delivers him to punishment. Today, then, is a lesson in true compassion. We should be reminded that if we, during this Lent, just about at the midway point, find ourselves, as I hope we all do to some degree, in the position of the prodigal son, and are studying at this moment how we might make a good confession and have true contrition, this greatest gift we can have during Lent, that the fruit of this should be not that, having been welcomed back into our Father's house, we should then be resentful when we see other sinners whom we judge as far more scandalous than we, but rather learn a lesson in compassion and remind ourselves that as we have been shown mercy, so too ought we to pray for others. We ought to see in others, yes, sinful men, but we cannot deny it. We are all descendants of Adam. Whether we belong to the tribe of Israel or not, we can all claim that same lineage. We are all descended from our fallen father. But looking upon other sinners, we should be able to believe with all our hearts, with St. Paul, yes, we are all sinners. Christ has come to save us all sinners, among whom, however, I am the first.